retired folk, or if you want to be retired. Leave here at 11 o'clock. I think we're going to this. Something, it says something about industrial street, but I'm not sure. Something like Stony, not Stony River, so I've got to get detailed. I think it's close to your house, to CB, over there. You know, Stony something, not Stony River, but out. Anyhow. If you want to meet here at 11 o'clock. Wednesday. And we'll go eat. And then, I'm so confused. I got a message off of the machine, and it was confusing to me, so I passed it on because I was confused. Sonya may have one for that same day. Sonya, you got an announcement about workshop, or are you full already? Saturday the 21st. Next Saturday, there will be an event here on Saturday night. We have loaned the church out. If you come by and see a bunch of cars, we have loaned it to Ebenezer, and some of our people are attending their event. Right. And if you still like to go, I think we could get you in. Ms. Margaret Beniza, Jimmy Beniza's mother, passed away. The funeral's tomorrow at 10:30 at Hickory Chapel. Visitation is tonight at Hickory Chapel. I think it's about from 2, or I think it's 2 to until 8. And they are the 8 o'clock group. Also, Karen Hawkins' grandmother is Karen's grandmother, and she was 90.
Good to be back. Greetings from Colonia. I made a comment for one of the coffee. Back there and back. The blue ring is off. The green vest thing is back there. I got two more back. We have a great community. John and JC Crawford and JC, one of the friends on the first day. That came back to the States, he wants to go. So he had a great experience, and I'm sure he's going to be here again forever. Thank you for your support, and the facility down there is really, really close to the campus. They want me to come back to things for wood trends. They want me to come back the first week or second week of May. Just casually mention that. we have to take a 2x10, 9 foot long, and make the trim for the door. With only a table saw, and it broke down. So we made a table saw out of a steel saw for a couple of days, and we got the other fixed. So it's not exactly your normal go to the Home Depot and get your trim and come back and hang it up and have a job. But we do the best we can. And they were real pleased. They said that that kind of carpentry work was really expensive there, so we saved them quite a bit of money. And so I told them to give it this week to get my head back on the straight. I will see about coming back to the bathroom. So just keep us in mind and pray for that. So I feel like the world wants us to go. We could save them a whole lot of money on the carpet by going to that good work. And that's something that we can save them about. So just keep us in prayer for that. But it was a great trip. They're really appreciative of your efforts here. We did from the coins, if you didn't hear already, from the coins and the soup luncheon that we had. We were able to send down $2,000 for the project. So really appreciate the support. Thank you very much.
Becky and Bob are back from Russia, 40-hour trip back, but they made it. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of heaven and earth. God brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of earth as nothing. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God.
Let's turn to Bible 6 and sing this praise. It will be wonderful to hear you sing.
Thank you. We pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we read that you love a cheerful giver. And sometimes we have difficulty being cheerful, and especially in our giving. But Lord, when we think of what you have done for us, material blessings, but the blessing of salvation, we can't help but smile and be thankful and be cheerful. Lord, we know that we can't buy our salvation, but we can support the work of ministry that others might hear it. The message that Jesus died for the sins of mankind, and we're saved through our faith in Him. Thank you for that, and thank you for the privilege of participating. And Lord, we would pray that you would give all of us a cheerful spirit in our living as well as our giving. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks be to God. We've been wading through the first chapter of Mark for a few weeks. Have you noticed that? Will we ever get through with Mark? Well, maybe not. There's some important stuff in the Gospel of Mark, as well as all of the Gospels. And the lectionary lessons for this year, 3-year cycle, year B is Mark, or starts with the Gospel of Mark. And I found it quite interesting to just go slowly through this first chapter of Mark. Rob Truett. Ring a bell? Probably doesn't. Rob Truett is our minister at the Dixon Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and I received his newsletter, as I do a number of newsletters, and he made a statement that I thought was worthy of sharing with you this morning, and I thought was helpful and gave some guidance. The entire article was good, but for our concern this morning, let's concern that statement. He says, biblically, or based on the Bible, the church has a threefold function. One is kerygma. And you say, huh? Most of you would. I went to a conference a couple of weeks ago, and the speaker was talking about the ethics of enhancing our bodies or lengthening our lives. And stem cell was one of the subjects. And he would speak, and I would say, huh? So, kerygma. What is kerygma? It's a Greek word. And maybe loosely interpreted or translated, it would be proclaiming. Function of the church is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The other function of the church in the New Testament is koinonia. And I've heard it pronounced different ways, but that's the way I learned to pronounce it. And koinonia is fellowship. And I've run into people that did not want fellowship in the church. They would say they'd like to come to church, and when the service was over, out of there, go home and meditate upon what they had experienced there. And I really can't argue with that. Fellowship with God, maybe. And that was their way of responding to God. But koinonia means fellowship, and the New Testament church spent a great deal of time in fellowshipping. And it also touches on the thought of sharing, and sharing ideas, sharing in conversation, and sharing in what we have. In the New Testament church, especially early in the book of Acts, they certainly shared their material blessings. It involves participation, and if you've noticed, we are trying to involve more people in the worship experience of participation, or through participation, and we've added someone from the congregation reading the scripture and trying to involve people participating in the worship experience rather than just coming and being fed. They can also participate in the feeding. And then the contribution. And contribution, giving of energy, time, and giving of talents, and giving of resources, that was a aspect or a function of the early church, and it still is today. And then there, and I'm not sure, never did really know how to say this Greek word. It's where deacons come from, though, but it's diakonia, D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A, or that's the transliteration of it, and that's service. That is outreach. That is missions. And Jenkins Church is involved in much, much outreach, and we're biblical when we're involved in outreach. It's not just about us. It's about reaching out with the gospel in many ways, or showing the gospel through our works or through our ministry. And the youth are involved in much outreach. The grace team is involved in outreach. The children's ministry, or the outreach committee, especially for children and kids, very involved in outreach. I wish we were more outreaching in sharing the gospel or evangelizing, but we're doing a bit of that. And then in today's lessons, we find today's lesson, I find all three of these and hope that you do too, and if you don't already, that you will before you leave. And then we have one more aspect of the church, maybe not the gathered church, but the church as it is dispersed, and that is Jesus stealing away to pray, finding a secluded spot or a quiet place to pray. So, the ministry of Jesus, that's what we have before us, our part of the ministry of Jesus, our one time out of the ministry of Jesus. And it's pretty inclusive here, though, I think, even in these, I think, 10 verses. This is a full passage. You know, yesterday or day before yesterday, I thought back in college, it might have been college or seminary, one of the professors used the word pregnant. And they said, boy, that's a pregnant idea. And I said, what is he talking about? We don't say that word in public, not in mixed company anyway. That was way back there. And then I was thinking of this passage, and somehow all that flooded back into my mind, and I said, you know, this is a pregnant passage from the Bible. It's so full. Or I find it being so full, and I'm not the only one. It's all there. The ministry of Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do in His ministry? Or we might say, this is what Jesus did in His ministry. The question is answered there if we want to put it as a question. What did He do? Preacher was a seminary student and pastoring a church, actually two churches while he was in seminary. He got through his work, and what did he do? And he was living on a student salary, a part-time salary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he talked to me, and he says, I'm I'm not making it. And I'm here full time. He said, what do I do? And so I offered, being the helpful person that I am, run to everybody's rescue. So I said, well, I'll talk to one of your elders, your clerk of your session. And I did. And the question was, when he met with them, what will you do? And I said, now, you need to have a plan, something to do every day except one. Everybody needs an off day. So you need to have a plan, know what you do, and then you need to live by that plan. And he did, and they adjusted his salary. And he's appreciative to me now. Or he says he is, buys my lunch once a week. No. That would use up that salary, wouldn't it? Now, I don't insist that he does that. He does offer, okay. But anyhow, this is just a recent one. What does the preacher do, or what did Jesus do? And we can't do everything that Jesus did, but we can go in his name and offer him to be the help that people need. Healing. Jesus, we read about healing. Last week, we read about Jesus healing, or casting out, or calling from an evil spirit-possessed person, or an unclean spirit-possessed person, call from him this evil spirit, unclean spirit. And I believe Luke referred to it as being a demon. Mark never does in that passage. And that was a healing. But also he preached taught in last week's lesson, the verses previous to what we read today. Healing. Healing is service, right? You're doing a service to a person when you heal that person. So doctors are really in the service business. Now, you never talk about a hospital being a service station or an operating room being a service station. I worked for 4 summers, I believe it was, and a Christmas or two in a service station where we serviced automobiles. We put gas in, we washed, we vacuumed, we fixed the tires, we did the oil change, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A bit of mechanic work. It was a service station. I guess a full service, as they called it, service station. Well, a hospital is for the body. Basically, a service station, is it not? Jesus was in the business of serving, and to the one who was healed, in this case it was Peter's mother-in-law, to the one who was healed and to that family closest to her, that was the greatest of service, was it not? It was a great service. Now, we wish that we could have brought healing to Miss Beniza and Mr. Stevenson. Raised in this community but moved to the Bellevue area. He passed away early in the week. Funeral was yesterday. And they kept hoping for a healing for his body. It wasn't to be. He passed from this life. But we were hoping, the family, they kept hoping and praying that Bill would be healed. That God would see fit to intervene and bring about a healing in his life. And if either of these, if God had seen fit to heal them and did heal them, how rejoicing, how much rejoicing that family would do. So to the one healed, what a service it was. To those close to the one healed, what a service it was. It was the greatest kind of service. Jesus heals one. In this passage, Peter's mother-in-law, It is believed that this household was not numbered with the rich and famous, but with, if not the poor, then the moderate household. Jesus went there for a time of rest and a time of fellowship. He had been in the synagogue. And it says they went from the synagogue to Peter's house, or to the house of Peter and Andrew. And there was Peter's mother-in-law. And following this experience in the synagogue, where he taught with authority like none had taught before, and where he had cast an evil or unclean spirit out of an individual. They went from the synagogue, where this had happened, to the home of Andrew and Peter. There they found the mother-in-law of Peter sick with a fever. She was in bed. And I'm sure, I said, he went there for rest. Funerals do something when I conduct a funeral or officiate at a funeral, if you want to be proper about it, I guess. They're draining. They're physically draining. And I've related that before. I'd go home some days and I'd say, Carol, I'm so tired, I can't understand. And she'd say, well, what did you do today? And I'd say, well, I did this and this and this and a funeral. And she'd say, okay. And she didn't understand it, but then the next time it happened again, and it was always, I was more drained at a funeral. Well, I can believe that taking this demon or this evil spirit from this man and calling it out and sending it away and taking control over that was physically, I could just believe it was physically tiring to Jesus. So he went there for rest and for some fellowship. And they told Jesus that she was sick. And he went to the sick woman and took her by the hand and helped her up. And the fever left her. So she was healed. But that's not the end of the story. Notice what follows. Having been sick. Well, before we notice what follows, let's think what we might have done. She had been sick. And say she had been sick and she got well. And that's what happened. And I can, in my mind's eye, I guess as they call it, or in my imagination, I can see the family and the guest in the house saying, now you've been sick, and I know this has been tiring to you, so sit here in the recliner. And if they didn't have a recliner, they said, at least sit here in the rocking chair, maybe painted orange. And sit here and just rock and have a good, just rest. And I see somebody bringing her a hassock? A footstool to prop her feet on. And now just asking her just to relax. And maybe a glass of iced tea. Or maybe just hot tea. Or something. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. They healed her. And she began to serve. She got up and got busy. She must have been a Martha in the story of Martha and Mary, where Mary was always working and helping. And, I mean, Martha was always working and helping, and Mary was at Jesus' feet. And Peter's mother-in-law, I can see her being a Martha, taking on that role. She got up and, I've been sick, but I'm going to do something. I'm ready to go to work. Let me serve you. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. She was healed to serve. And I believe that there was much fellowship in that household. Koinonia? Would you think so? Am I too far in my imagination? Much, much, much fellowship. Much discussion about the experience back in the synagogue. You think they talked about that much? Jesus, you really did lay it on them back there. You got under their skin, Jesus. Man, we were proud to be with you. And then, Jesus, you just outdid yourself. How did you do it, Jesus? You got that demon out of that man. And you wouldn't let him talk. The demon. You made him be quiet. Because, Jesus, why did you know so much about demons that you wouldn't even let them talk? You knew it was useless to get into an argument with them or to discussion with them. I think they fellowshipped and they discussed. Maybe just enjoyed each other's company. Jesus and the four and the mother-in-law there. And I guess Peter's wife was somewhere around. And enjoying the work of Jesus and having experienced it. Especially the two healings. Jesus came to serve. And in this passage, we find Jesus serving. And then being served. The one that he served, in turn, served him as well as others. And she was healed for one purpose, to be a blessing to some other people. We who have been served by Jesus, we who have been forgiven, we who have been redeemed, we who have been justified, we who have been sanctified, we who have been saved through our faith in Jesus and His work on the cross. In turn, we serve Him and we serve others. And Jesus' healing ministry continued. Jesus heals many who are sick and many who are demon-possessed. He didn't stop with just one. He kept on serving. He was served, given nourishment, encouragement, strength to go on to serve someone else. Verse 32, that evening after supper, people brought to Jesus all of the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But again, he would not let the demons speak. Notice that. He would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. And Jesus was drawing a crowd. Oh, the word spread, and many gathered at the door. And he healed various diseases and drove out many demons. And then he went off to pray. Very early the next morning, I assume they went to bed, or they at least took a nap somewhere, maybe in the corner of the room, maybe on a pallet. But very early the next morning, he took time to pray to the Heavenly Father. While it was still dark, he got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. I was riding around yesterday, and I've got this little project going. It's one of my methods of evangelism. And I was riding around, and I passed Giles Creek Baptist Church. And I read on their reader board, or their sign out front, that they put letters on like we do, said, quiet times with God, store up power for future engagements. Quiet times with God, store up power for future engagement. I stopped right down the road and wrote that down so I could share it with you this morning. Whether it's to store up His power for the future or to replenish that which had just been used in the two healings, in the casting out of the many, many demons, we're not sure how many, we, like Jesus, and even more so, need to spend that time with God, alone with God. And then we find the preaching or the proclamation. Jesus touched some other lives in the community. In the other communities, kerygma, proclamation. That's why he came. Jesus could have stayed in Capernaum or Capernaum and been busy and stayed busy. He could have worked every day, and they would have probably made a beeline to his house or beaten a path to where he was for healing. There was a man up about 50 miles from where I grew up in the edge of Alabama, and word got out that he could cure sinus troubles and those kind of things. So you go up there on a Saturday morning when he was open and people were off from work, and just the waiting room would just be full. People just beating the path up there for some kind of treatment. And I was one of them. We went up to Alabama to see. I don't know if I had really had a problem, but I guess we thought we did. And we went over there. He could have worked there in Capernaum the rest of his life. Doing good things. Ministering. Serving. Fellowshipping. And after 20 years plus, this caused me to think, was it right to stay in one place? One of my preacher friends, an older person that I kind of looked up to and counseled with a good bit, I said, why do you move every so often? He said, after about 4 years, I need a new challenge. But maybe he just needed to share himself with a different congregation, and we don't know. And I think God calls different people to different things, or I justify my long tenure that way. There was much healing, though, for Jesus to do there, and the people were looking for him, but he went on to some other places. The disciples found him while he was praying. He says, and they said, they're looking for you. Why are you hiding out here? He says, verse 38, let us go somewhere else. Let us go to the nearby villages. Let us get away from here. Let us go to another place so I can preach there also. The other communities needed to experience his presence and his power and his authoritative preaching and his healing power. That is why I have come. Not just to take care of one little community. So he traveled throughout, verse 39, so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Other towns had the same problem. Kerygma. Preaching, but also serving wherever he went, driving out demons. Jesus and you. Jesus and me, what do we need from him? What do we need to do for him? Maybe it's just to present our lives unto him. Turn, if you will, in your hymnal to 351. It's moment by moment. I know it's often difficult to start a song on the second stanza, but I think we can do it. The second stanza of moment by moment. And then the third stanza. Would you stand with me and let's sing together, moment by moment, the second stanza and the third stanza. And maybe your response to God's love to you through Jesus this morning is a public response. I would hope we'd all have some kind of a private response, but maybe yours is a public response this morning. And I will meet you in the altar if you'd like to come publicly and share yourself with Jesus and this congregation. Maybe you have a need for a healing or an authoritative word about some situation. You know what your need is. I don't know. But if you feel a need to come here, come as we sing.
Never a God that He is not there. Never a burden that He does not.
Lord, we thank you for Jesus who has come to preach, to teach, to heal, to inspire, to save. Thank you. And use us to be his agents in the world. In his name, amen.